world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed. Lipstick Bodyguard, fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
In this episode of Parents Are Hard to Raise, Diane explains how Medicaid works. Plus, have you ever been trampled by a cow, attacked by chickens, walked into a lamppost? Not surprisingly, the medical bureaucracy now has a code for that.
Welcome to Parents Are Hard to Raise, helping families grow older together without losing their minds. I'm elder care expert Diane Berardi. Dance, dance, dance for your brain. Researchers found seniors who danced saw white matter improve in part of the brain related to memory and processing speed. So older adults often ask how they can keep their brain healthy. One way is dance. Researchers are saying dance may end up being one way to do that for the white matter. There was a study of a group of 174 healthy adults between the ages of 60 and 79 who met 3 times a week for 6 months. So participants were randomly assigned to participate in 1 of 4 groups of activities. The one group was aerobic walking. The second group was some aerobic walking and a daily nutritional supplement. The third group was stretching and balance classes. And the fourth group, dance training. So the participants were measured at the beginning and end of the 6 months. Their white matter was measured by magnetic resonance imaging, MRIs. Of the 4 activities, only dancing had a positive effect on the brain. So researchers saw participants who danced had a noticeable improvement in the part of the brain thought to play an important role in memory. So dance is more enjoyable than just walking in a gym. We're looking for things that people find enjoyable and captivating and that will continue to do, is what researchers are saying. So the head of this research speculates that dance training, because it incorporates exercise, social interaction, and learning, challenged participants' brain and motor learning abilities. So that means that their brain and social stimulation could be just as important as physical activity. And we had talked about socialization, stimulation, volunteering, all different types of things. So this was a great thing to hear. Also, another thing we talked about was being social to people in a nursing home may make a difference in dementia. We always talk about social things. And we had talked about also volunteering. And what's a classic volunteer activity? Spending time with patients in a nursing home. So it not only makes us feel good, but it may make a difference in dementia. So just 1 hour a week of social interaction can boost the quality of life and reduce agitation for people living with dementia. There was a study done, a large trial from the United Kingdom, and the trial was conducted by several universities and the National Health Service Foundation. And what they did was they presented their results at the Alzheimer's Association International Conference, which was held this July. They had more than 800 patients with dementia in nursing homes across London and Buckinghamshire, and they were evaluated in the study. So what they did was they had 2 specially trained staff at each nursing home, and they were trained to talk to the patients about their interests and to help them make decisions about their own care. They combined that with 1 hour a week of social interaction, and they found that that made a difference. The physician, Mr. Clive Ballard, from the University of Exeter Medical School, he led the study, and he said that it's essential that all residents of nursing homes living with dementia receive the level of care examined in the study. Of course, we talked about this as well. We know a person-centered approach that takes each individual unique quality, their ability, their interests, their preferences, and needs into account can improve their care. But this study shows that training to provide this type of institutional care, along with activities and social interactions, have a significant impact on the well-being of people living with dementia in nursing homes. You guys have been great sending me emails, asking me questions of topics that I can try to help you with. And I want to catch up after those two long, boring, shows on infections, but I thought it was important for, you know, you to know certain things. So now I'm trying to catch up on some of the emails. And one common topic I'm going to try to cover today is people have a lot of questions on Medicaid. And I'm sure you do have a lot of questions because Medicaid isn't as, I'm not going to say easy to understand as Medicare, but Medicaid involves the federal and state government. So now we have two governments involved. So it's a lot more confusing, and it's different from state to state, and can even be different. Certain programs can even be different from county to county. So I'm going to try to cover certain things on Medicaid. Between Medicare and Medicaid, there are two key differences, and though that is, you know, who is eligible, which we went over on Medicare topics, and the what Medicaid covers. Medicaid covers long-term care services and support, where Medicare only covered those short-term stays in a rehab or a skilled nursing facility after a hospitalization. Medicaid is an assistance program that serves low-income people of every age. It helps pay for medical care and long-term care. Who runs Medicaid? Well, as I said before, Medicaid is run by both federal and state government. And you have to use federal guidelines. So because of federal and state partnership, different Medicaid programs run in each state. So the federal government sets rules for the states, and then the states get to make up more of their own rules. So when someone may be eligible in one state, they may not be eligible in another. So, for instance, if you're in one state and your mom and dad are in another state, you have to, of course, know the rules specific to the state they live in. If you're thinking of moving your parent to where you are, then, of course, they may not be eligible for the same things they are eligible for now in the state they live in. The type of services can vary from state to state and even county to county. Who qualifies for Medicaid? Well, there are strict eligibility requirements based on income and financial resources. Medicaid is very protective over the money, you know, they have and who's going to get it. So not everyone can qualify. It's generally people who qualify have limited income, they're disabled, or it could be for children under 19 years of age, people 65 years and older. It could be parents or adults caring for a child, or some adults without dependent children. What does Medicaid cover? Services are different, again, state by state, but there are some federal guidelines. So what's covered? Medically necessary services. So those benefits usually include care or services received in a hospital or a skilled nursing facility. Care or services received in federally qualified health centers or rural clinics. Doctor services, nursing services, long-term care. Home health care for those eligible. And those eligible means that they're frail elderly, that they would be eligible for services in a nursing home. So they would qualify for nursing home care. So that's their strict home care requirements. Lab x-ray services, medical and surgical dental services. Some states do include prescription coverage, eyeglass, optometrist, medical transportation, dental, physical therapist, and prosthetic devices. Now, people covered by Medicaid don't have any cost for these services. there is a problem today in the United States nationwide that available providers of Medicaid. So you're not finding as many physicians who take Medicaid. You're not finding as many skilled nursing facilities. They have certain number of beds that are, you know, for Medicaid eligible patients. You're finding a lot of a very small pool of home care providers who can now accept Medicaid. Medicaid was designed as a safety net program, so it came into play, you know, when things are tough. So there's a very complex, lengthy, very timely eligibility process. It takes a long time to become eligible. So, for instance, if you want Medicaid to pay for your parent in a nursing home, first of all, they have to meet some basic requirements. There has to be a high level of need for care. So what that means is they need a lot of help doing one or two of the most basic activities of daily living, like eating or bathing. They have to have severe, maybe have severe cognitive issues like dementia. So there's a process where your parent has to be assessed medically for Medicaid. They have to have income that has to be too low to pay for the care. So they have to have very low income to start, or they have spent so much money already going for medical care or nursing home care that they don't have enough to cover now continued care. And you find that, you know, people have maybe taken care of a spouse and then there's just no more money left to continue to care for them. They have very low savings. I'm saying $2,000, that could change. There's so much going on and changing in Medicaid, and you hear all kinds of fights going on in Congress about Medicaid. So right now, it's a very small amount of money in savings. There's also a lot of rules for a lot of different circumstances. For instance, your mother or father can't suddenly give you all their savings. Medicaid is going to go back. Right now it's 5 years, and they go back and look at every bank statement. They look at every transfer. They look at everything. I remember my aunt, you heard me talk about my aunt Roro. Well, she lived alone. She took care of my grandparents. She never married. And she you know, worked in back then it was called Two Guys. You know, she worked there. That was, you know, her job. So she didn't make a lot of money. And I remember my mom was helping her apply for Medicaid. And I remember someone gave her a gift of $25, and she deposited the check into, you know, her bank account. And I remember going with my mom and the person at Medicaid questioning that $25. We had to have proof. We had to come up with a copy of that check, that $25 came from just a gift for her birthday. So there's a lot that they look at, obviously. Also, there's, you know, a difference if there's a spouse, if there's a husband and wife living together, and one of the parties, you know, for instance, the husband has Alzheimer's. So they don't want to deplete the wife. They don't want to deplete all the incomes, all the income and savings, because there still is a healthy person in the home. So there's a lot that's involved. I always suggest to, if you can afford an attorney, an elder care attorney, because they can talk to you. They understand all about Medicaid. I talked to you about your state health insurance program, SHIP. You know, if you can't afford an attorney, please talk to them, because they can answer any questions. There's also an aging and disability resource center where they have, you know, they can explain programs in your area that may be available. They can explain the length of a waiting list or eligibility criteria. because you also have, you know, people get fearful and say, oh my God, Medicaid, my parents will have to give up their home, or Medicaid is going to take their home. That's a very complicated issue. And Medicaid, you know, they don't want to pay out all this money, you know, for someone who needs care. And then when that person dies, the family gets this huge mansion. So, you know, the government has paid out all this money, and then, you know, the family gets the proceeds. So, but they don't want to also take the person's home. So they want to try to preserve the family home. So that's why you need to talk to a professional, because Medicaid is very complicated. There's so many different programs going on, and there's so many different criteria. And, you know, if you find your parent has, there's two parents, you know, you have a mom and dad, and this happens a lot with dementia and Alzheimer's, where a person, you know, lives for 5, 6, 7 years. And so all the other parent, you know, is living in the home, and the funds have been depleted. So you definitely want to find out what you can do and what programs are available. Traditionally, Medicaid only covered nursing homes, but today, most every state offers alternatives to nursing home care. But again, you know, there's different criteria. It's very complex, and there's tight controls on that money. So every state is different. And like I said, counties also have different programs. I know for home care, certain states may have services that can include transportation to doctors, that they can include respite care. Sometimes respite care can mean that they will have a home health, they come to the home where the family can get out maybe for a few hours, maybe overnight. Sometimes respite care means there'll be transportation for the frail person to go to a nursing home for a weekend where the family can have a break. Sometimes Medicaid will pay for adult daycare, home modification, you know, have a home health, they come to the home. So some states also may include a portion of assisted living costs being eligible. So there's what I want to impress upon you is you have to find out in your own state, because the programs do vary from state to state and county to county and group to group, maybe the elderly versus a work age related person. So I think the best thing, if you have an attorney, an elder care attorney, or contact SHIP, that state insurance program in your own area. And when we come back from the break, I want to talk to you a little bit more about some other interesting topics we found in the news. I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise. And although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. pick up a Lipstick Bodyguard and keep it with you always.
Lipstick Bodyguard, fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
I had talked to you in a previous episode about going to the doctor with your mom or dad, or having someone go to the doctor with them. And it's come out, they had a very small survey of 100 older adults, but 43 of them had said that they misheard a doctor, a nurse, or both during a visit or a hospital stay. So I noticed that with my dad, because he doesn't hear as well, so he doesn't hear what doctors are telling him, or, you know, he's misinterpreting what they're saying. And, you know, when he would go to a doctor and he'd come back and I'd say, okay, so what'd the doctor say? Oh, well, you know, or if I did go to the doctor with him, you know, I noticed that he wasn't, I could tell he wasn't hearing what the doctor was saying because he wasn't reacting. He was kind of just sitting there, but he didn't want to say, I can't hear you. So that study does prove true in the fact that, yes, you should go to the doctor with your parent or have someone go with them so that you get the right information. And now something on a little lighter side. If you are in the medical field, you're familiar with the International Classification of Diseases, which is a medical diagnosis classification list that's been developed by the World Health Organization. And right now we have the ICD-10. So we live in this strange world of medical coding. So every time you go to the doctor, your diagnosis is recorded as one or more of these multi-digit codes, which cover everything from insect bites to animal-drawn vehicle accidents. So there's this company that works with health insurance claims. And they work with these hundreds of thousands of claims every day. And they do this analysis to break down pricing and, you know, bring clarity to healthcare consumers. They analyze the data, you know, that doctors have sent in all these codes. So they have access to a database of 9 billion claims. So they decided to take a look at the most bizarre ICD-9 codes. So here are some of them. I thought, you know what? Let's just have some fun. Keep in mind, so for any of these codes to pop up in their data, someone had to go to the doctor for treatment, and that doctor had to record their cause of injury. So for example, there's a code V9107XA. That code is for a burn due to water skis on fire. So if you've ever walked into a wall, you're not alone. There's a code for that. 17,200 patients walked into a wall last year. Even more people, 25,500, walked into a piece of furniture. And 400 walked into a lamppost, believe it or not. Even more bizarre, more than 10,000 patients were accidentally bitten by another person. 8,700 patients were accidentally kicked by another person. And 1,800 patients were accidentally scratched by another patient. By another person, excuse me, not patient. 1,300 people were crushed, pushed, or stepped on by a crowd or a human stampede. You know, 1,700 patients were struck by a cow. First, I thought it said car, but no, it said cow. The most common exposure to mechanical force cause of injury code was W57. What does that mean? Bitten or stung by non-venomous insect and other non-venomous arthropods, which happened to 529,000 patients in 2016. Okay, so maybe a lot of them are bee stings. You know, you go to the doctor, maybe allergic reaction. Of course, the most common injury involving animals, W540, bitten by a dog, 162,000 diagnoses in 2016. So now it gets more interesting. At the bottom of the list, where livestock make an appearance. In 2016, 1,700 patients were struck by a cow. 700 were bitten by a horse. 300 bitten by a pig. And 200 patients were struck by chickens. 3,400 patients had an incident with a lawnmower. Leave it to ICD-10 to make the word contact both vague and specific. Almost 9,000 patients were diagnosed with contact with a workbench tool in 2016. 2,200 were diagnosed contact with a nail gun. 3,400 were diagnosed with contact with powered lawnmower. 600 patients were diagnosed with contact with a sword or dagger. I'm not sure I understand that one, but for every season, there's a ball that will hurt you. Injuries are caused by the actual ball, like a baseball, basketball, or football. In 2016, basketballs won out. They caused the most injuries. I got an email from Virginia from Travelers Rest, South Carolina, and she had asked me, she said her dad has dementia and her mom passed away and they moved her dad into a part of their house. You know, so she is home with him all the time. Her husband and she are home with him all the time. And they wanted to just get out for an evening, have like a date night. And she asked, you know, do I know, is there a service that would provide that? You know, because she has heard me talk about home care services and is there some kind of service? And she said, my dad is on a waiting list for the VA, which the VA has a waiting list for home care services, which I know to be true, you know, in every state. So she said, I don't know how long, you know, I'll be waiting. I've been waiting for a while. And my husband and I just want to go out to dinner or to a movie and get out just for even like 2 hours, you know, on a weekend. So of course, you know, I told her of some services, some home care services in her area. And that's all. And, you know, for any area, there are reputable home care services that you can call who will come out and just give you and your husband a break. You know, you tell them what you need and when you would like them to come out, and sure, they can do anything that you need them to do. So, you know, just, you know, email me. I'll be happy to find a service for you in your area. Happy to recommend several services. But you just have to be careful of the service that you do choose because you want a reputable service. You don't want to just find someone on the internet. Just go on the internet. So just be mindful of that. And for my survival tip of the week, I bet you know what I'm going to say. Dance, dance, dance. You have a great week. And of course, I run out of time. So thank you so much for listening. If this week's show was helpful to you, or you know someone who would be helped by it, please tell them about it. They can subscribe to the show using iTunes. You can find links to the topics we just talked about in the show notes for today's episode, episode 24, at parentsarehardtoraise.org. I'm here to help, so please tell me if there is something you're struggling with. It doesn't matter what the question is. It doesn't matter if it's just something you're thinking about. You know, something you just want to ask me, a simple thing. Nothing is too strange. There's no question that's too odd or too strange. So please just, you know, write to me, email me at diane@parentsarehardtoraise.org, and I'll be happy to include the question in a future show. You can reach me through my website, dianeberardi.com. You can follow me on Facebook at Parents Are Hard to Raise, and I tweet at Jersey Elder Care. Parents Are Hard to Raise is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. Thank you so much for listening. See you again next week.